In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again from the Gospel lesson read just a few moments ago. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and immediately he called them. Has it ever occurred to you that there were plenty of theologians and religious types standing around doing very little when Jesus called his first disciples? There were also more priests than could be employed at the temple. There must have been a great number of teachers steeped in the meaning of the scriptures. And yet Jesus goes out into the workplaces and the streets to do his recruiting. He chooses fishermen and tax collectors and a minor bookkeeper named Judas instead of the religious types. I don't recall that there were any seminarians recruited either. And it's to these kind of people that Jesus entrusts his mission. What is also amazing to me is the response that these people gave to the call of Jesus. Mark records it this way: immediately, they followed him. This passage overwhelms me with its witness to obedience. Jesus called, and those first disciples, they did not question Jesus' call. They answered yes, plain and simple. Now, as I read this section of Mark, I immediately thought this would be a great text to use for a call day sermon. It certainly models the kind of responses candidates for pastoral or deaconess ministry should have to their call assignments. It also explains why most candidates, after receiving their calls, walk down this aisle with big smiles on their faces. Unless, of course, they know that that smile is expected of them, even if they're disappointed with their calls or feel that they're deserving of something much better. In fact, as I think about it, I did not smile at all when I read the documents to my first call. I did not want to follow Jesus where he called me. And yet God smiled. Yes, God smiled, because he knew more about what would happen in that ministry than I ever dreamed could happen. I wonder, though, if Mark is telling the whole story. Or maybe he left out the disappointment or the "I'm not sure I'm ready to do this" kind of thinking that quite probably went along with in those disciples' minds. Think realistically about what Mark records is happening here. Jesus calls his future disciples. He asks them to say yes to that call with no questions asked, and those disciples got up and immediately followed him. This story is no more plausible than the Old Testament lesson appointed for this week, the account of Jonah surviving 3 days in the belly of a fish. Just think about it. A total stranger walks up to those rough and tumble fishermen, tells them to drop everything, leave behind the essential tools of their trade and livelihood, and come with him and go into the business of fishing for people. Swallow that, if you will. Swallow also the fact that those fishermen actually did this. Even if we quickly try to fill in the story and point to the fact that perhaps those fishermen had already met Jesus, or they had seen some special power in him that caused them to want to follow him, the story still seems off the wall. But Mark here does not provide even a hint of those possibilities. He simply sets before us a stranger issuing a call with an immediate positive response. That's all that Mark tells us. How would you respond to receiving a call like that offered Simon and Andrew, James and John? You'll find out You will find out when you get your vicarage internship assignments or your first calls. You find out also when you look at how you face your daily task as students, in your response to simple things like homework, or duties in your fieldwork congregations, or just being here in chapel, or whatever. Answering Jesus' call to immediately follow him does not very often take the form that it did in Mark's gospel. We will probably never respond to God's call in just the same way as those first disciples did. And yet the reason that Mark tells us this story in the way that he did is to emphasize the fact that just as those first disciples were really responding to the call of God's Spirit through Jesus, so we today do not respond to his calls to us by ourselves. We cannot. We cannot do this on our own strength. The same divine love that moved those first disciples to follow Jesus reaches out to us as well. Jesus set Simon and Andrew, James and John apart for partnership with him. He also sets us aside or apart for partnership with him. That means that he believes in us. By the way, what's the major ingredient for a successful partnership in business, in marriage, and so on? Trust. And it is trust that Christ is placing in us when he calls us to discipleship, to following him. I don't know about you, but the trust that he places in you and me to be in the ministry of the church is awesome. There's a moving scene near the end of the classic play Beckett. That scene illustrates how I feel. The King of England, Henry II, had anointed Thomas Becket, his old hunting companion and drinking partner, as Archbishop of England. He then expected Becket to cooperate in a scheme to bring the church under his royal control. What the king had not counted on, however, was that Becket would view his ordination as a genuine call, a summons to serve the honor of God. Becket therefore refused to bow down or give in to the king's plan. The king is astonished and reminds Becket of their wild days together and tells him that this new stance toward life is not like Becket. Perhaps, responds Becket, I'm no longer like myself. When the king presses Becket for a reason, Becket describes the sense of call he had, the feeling that God had placed a claim on his life. This is how he said it. I felt for the first time I was being entrusted with something. I was a man without honor, and suddenly I found it, the honor of God. I felt for the first time that I was entrusted with something. I'm sure that this is what Simon and Andrew, James and John must have felt when Jesus came to them and said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I feel that I'm being entrusted with something. Do you feel that way as our Lord has also issued you the call to follow him, to be witnesses in his name? Are you able to hear his call in the middle of the busyness of your studies and teaching or whatever? Do you understand that following Jesus will lead you into some challenging places and to doing some very challenging things? Yes, lead you to hungry, naked, depressed, and dejected people? Do you understand that following Jesus also means that you will feed those who are hungry and clothe those who are naked? Yes, bring God's word of love and grace to the depressed and the dejected. That following Jesus will also lead you to see ways of loving here at the seminary that we've never seen before. That following Jesus brings a sense of urgency with it. Simon and Andrew, James and John, obviously understood that. Why else would they have gotten up and immediately followed Jesus? They also knew that when Jesus calls, follow me, He is saying that he would lead the way, that he would show them where to go, that he would never leave them alone. But he also promises the same to us. Yes, as he walks ahead of us in his word and sacraments, as his life, death, and resurrection become central to our living, he renews us and reshapes us to do his will. What great gifts! What great gifts he, our crucified and risen Lord, gives to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.